Hey everyone, it's CG here once again, and welcome to the Spoiler TV Podcast. This is number 39 now, and as usual, we try to cover all of your new and favourite TV shows and movies. This week, it's myself, the ODI, and Adam, and we discuss in our weekly topic the best ever season finale, and as usual, we can never decide, and we argue, and we've got a poll on the site for you to vote on what we should have chosen. We discuss the latest episode of Game of Thrones, which was in a very big epic battle, and the finale of one of our favourite shows, and sad to see it go awake. We also recap the latest movie news, including Bond, Prometheus, and a lot of other things. Remember, you can leave us feedback and comments in the comments section on the site, email us at podcast@spoilertv.com, you can tweet us at @STV_podcast, give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/STVpodcast, and of course, don't forget to subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast as soon as it becomes available. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey all, thanks for coming back and listening to the Spoiler TV Podcast. Your co-host, the ODI, returned this week. Sorry, I missed out last week. All CJ's fault.
My fault.
And I'm joined by, of course, CJ and Adam, and it's good to be back with all three of us this week. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
You guys sound so excited today.
In tandem there.
Yeah. We just can't even be bothered anymore, can we? It's like, yeah. Hi, everyone. Hey. It's number 39. Sure. We're still here.
Well, we're being cancelled. We're back to our late night spot. You know, last week we were saying how refreshed we were because it was like 4 PM. Now it's 1 AM.
It's all my fault to have you guys up late, but it's okay.
But I'm usually funnier when it's late because I don't have a clue what I'm saying, which is always good.
Thanks for holding up the shop, you two, last week. And I know last week's topic was the best two cliffhangers. So if you are a new listener to the podcast, thank you for joining us. If you're a regular, of course, thanks for coming back. We try to do a weekly topic on top of just our regular TV roundup and shows we're watching. This week will be Awake's finale, series finale. And also covering the most recent episode of Game of Thrones, which was quite action-packed, and also anything else that comes up. But we usually start off the podcast with Adam or CJ kind of talking about any site news. Do we have anything new? Or Adam, you want to update your competition? I know you have a new your competition running.
Yeah, I do. Well, technically I'm behind on the competition, but I'll be back up to date when the podcast releases. I announced the best, as well, the nominees which are in the current shows. So it's already been revealed who the top 32, current shows are. I've still got to post the finished shows, but they will be up and on the site. So you can look around, and find those. And then you can see which 64 shows are going to be in the knockout competition, which we'll be getting going in the next couple of weeks. It'll be around probably the first to second week of June. All the big shows of the current shows are in there. You know, you've got Supernatural, Fringe, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Castle's in there. I think we've got Breaking Bad, I'm pretty sure, is in there. Bones is in there. Person of Interest, which CJ will be delighted about, is in there.
He's probably going to be, like, hacking the competition.
He's going to be one of those people.
Did I not tell you this?
Oh, so is that, were you the person of interest about 7,000 votes just constantly in there?
No.
He's created a bot. You better watch out, Adam.
Crystal.
It could be the machine. Maybe it's just the machine.
Maybe.
Sense that it needs to win.
That was just me clicking submit lots and lots of times. Oops.
Homeland's in there. That should please the ODI. He's a big Homeland fan. Dexter. So yeah, there's plenty of big good shows in there. I won't say who the finished shows are just now because I don't actually know, but they will be announced and available for you to find out by the time the podcast is up and running.
Nice. And how many weeks will the competition pretty much usually run?
Well, it's usually about a month, and then I take 2 weeks off, and then I do the character competition. So I imagine this competition will run sort of second half of June to into July, and then the character competition will run end of July through most of the August, ready for our September premieres. And then your whole summer has been action-packed and filled with TV fun whilst there's no TV episodes on the actual TV.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, should be good.
Awesome. Okay, so what else? Any other updated site news? Or?
Well, there's a podcast-related news from last week, because we actually ended on a cliffhanger last week. And obviously the ODI doesn't know this, which is kind of the cliffhanger, because what happened is, as you've said, he told us just before that he'd listened to the start of the podcast and he didn't listen to the end, and our cliffhanger was a bit of a joke saying, would you actually listen to our comments on the podcast?
There you go.
Because I won last week.
No, hang on.
No, I won last week. So,
it was a draw.
No, I won.
I did listen to about half of it, so I guess it's a tie.
I won.
CJ never gets to win, I think. That's the key.
Well, I agreed with him on something, and then he said, oh, the ODI, what would the ODI say if he was here? And so I said, well, let's find out and see if he listens. So, we failed there.
Nice.
Yeah, if this is still in the podcast, it means I forgot to edit it out. Whoops.
There you go.
But no,
by the way,
sorry,
go ahead. No, continue.
No, you know, you don't listen to these things, so you might as well talk, so you can...
I never listen to my own Lost podcast either, so I never listen to the podcast. So, but I expect everybody else to listen, so that's the key thing.
In fairness, Johnny Depp, he never watches his own films, so maybe there's a key. Makes it better.
Yeah. No, I did think you guys did a good job. I skimmed through it, but I did not listen to the whole thing. I listened to the first 30 minutes or so straight through, and then skimmed through it just to make sure, and I did not listen to the end. So,
in all fairness, it's probably best not to listen to it all, to be fair.
we did just waffle on for about 2 hours. So.
It's okay. I'm sure I saw the comments, so I went and saw the comments. I even left a comment, so blaming CJ for me being not a part of the podcast.
So. I was ill. It's not often I can't make it to the podcast.
I'm just giving you a hard time, CJ. It's okay. But I was just saying the banner competition and looking at all the sample banners that people have created.
They're amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Great job. I mean, if you guys have participated in that and it's submitted, they're awesome. I remember, you know, I had that, there was a while for about a good 6 months to a year where I was on a banner kick when I was doing the Lost, the ODI site and helping Dark UFO with his site and creating little banners and signatures for the forums and stuff like that. So just to see this and what people have turned in, it's awesome. Good job. Some really nice blends on some of them.
And great. I think that's just about site news. Us ranting on, so...
That's typical with us, though, isn't it? So it's great. No problem. I didn't get to really share my thoughts on Person of Interest, so I want to go ahead and just chime in for a minute or so and just say I thought it was really awesome. I thought... The end with JC picking up the phone, looking up at the camera was a great twist, talking to the machine or whoever maybe is on the other side of the machine. What did you guys decide on and chat about? Did you guys think it was just the machine? Or is there somebody else? Or are you still up for it?
We thought it maybe was Finch's old colleague.
Nathan. Yep.
That was our initial thoughts. I think we did decide that maybe it was just the machine. Mm-hmm. In the end, what did we come to? Do you remember?
Didn't we say it was going to be the machine where it just gives them a number and it turns out it'll be someone that'll help them find them? It'll be kind of like 4, 7, 9, 5, 3, and then they'll find that number.
I remember now, yes. Mm-hmm. Then we made a few lost jokes for about 5 minutes, didn't we?
Yeah.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Now, if you're really smart, they might actually do that as a bit of a nod.
Well, I think it'd be too apparent. I think the lost references that are more subtle are actually cooler.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers in the background.
Our mutual friend.
Things like that. Those are always cool. But overall, I thought it was somewhat predictable with Root, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think as the season played out, I agreed with Adam's thought that I think earlier on, I think even CJ had even mentioned, I think all of us kind of thought maybe there would be like an Elias connection for the finale and really thought it was going to go that route. And obviously they didn't go that route. I don't know if I felt it was somewhat predictable and the actress was going to be Root only because I had seen her in other shows. And I felt since it wasn't Elias, I was like, okay, there has to be a Root connection.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, because CJ knew who she was because he's a big fan, he found the twist very obvious, whereas I had never seen her in anything or I don't recognize her. And I was more surprised. I was totally convinced that the crazy woman was Root. And so when she got shot, I was like, oh. So it worked a bit better for me, I think, purely because I didn't really recognize the actress.
But even though it was obvious, I was still hoping she would be because she's a brilliant actress.
And she was in Dollhouse, right?
She was in Dollhouse, she was an angel, as a kind of nutty, quirky genius. And in Dollhouse, she was a bit nutty and quirky at times as well. So
super smart.
She's the perfect actress for the role. And I think a lot of fans, even on the site, were commenting when it first announced she was going to be a guest star, that she'd be perfect for Root. And I don't think anyone's disappointed, even if they saw it coming.
No, not at all. I don't think I was disappointed. The other thing I thought was pretty obvious was when they're escaping HR at the end in their parking garage, and he tells her to, like, go on. And I was like, okay, that's not his MO. That's usually not what he's done. And I mean, I know he's there and he's always to protect, but it was like really weird. I don't know, it kind of stuck out to me. And then at the same time, you had Finch with the crazy woman who obviously gets shot by Root. And so that's cool. I thought it was a really good overall season finale, really fun, enjoyable. I really thought the direction they took the show with some, I think if you look at what, 22, 23 episodes, they pulled it off really well. I think we could probably count on three fingers the number of episodes we felt were probably weak. And I think one I could probably pick up off the top of my head, which I know CJ in particular, maybe it was Adam as well. Both of you didn't like the episode with the little boy who I said was the rapper and was on that X Factor show.
Yeah, I said the exact same thing last week. You didn't even need to listen to the podcast last week.
Maybe I did, so, and I'm just, maybe that's why I don't listen, because I already know what you guys are going to say.
That's a good one.
Like the machine predicting the outcomes. The ODI predicts the outcomes of the podcast.
There you go. The ODI already knows. So it's like, it's like us. It was how we knew Lost spoilers. Well, how do you know that? How do you know about the Hero spoilers? Well, I have my sources.
So overall,
Yeah. No, I think, like, overall, the great episode. And I know our topic this week is about best season finales or things of that nature. I think it's a fairly good season finale. I don't know if it was the best ever because I felt it was somewhat predictable with the whole Root scenario, but at the same time, great. Just all around excitement, and I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Totally, dug the ending, which was awesome. So I was like, is it Nathan? And my initial thought, it was Nathan. And, yeah. And then I said, well, you know what? Maybe it is just the machine. Maybe it is just the machine. And that would be really cool too. So I don't know if we'll really know. I don't think they'll tell us immediately, at least. I think that it'll be a good kind of don't share with the audience kind of, and maybe just kind of hint at Nathan in more flashbacks. I thought maybe they would tie in Nathan's son again. Into the finale.
Well, they don't want to kind of finish off all the storylines in the first season. They need to leave some things to kind of build on the start of season two and then introduce new kind of storytelling like the lies, Nathan's son. So I think that'll probably play a part. Maybe Nathan's son will be in the premiere and he uses him to find Finch.
Yeah. I was really surprised we didn't touch on Snow and is it Kara? Because I remember we left them when she shot Snow's partner and he was sort of being held hostage, and I thought we'd get back to that at least in the finale. So that was quite a surprise, to be honest. Perhaps more so than the Elias one by the time the finale had come to pass.
It's definitely a good point. And I thought, like, they were trying to also indicate the other spy that helps them, that helped them 3 or 4 times during the season. What's her name? Is that who you're talking about?
I know who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot her name last week and I don't remember. Yeah. I rely on you guys to remember the names.
Gosh, I knew it, like, right before I was going to say it, and then I forgot her name. But anyways, I really thought her coming back was great and also helping out. And then I thought for a split second they were trying to, like, lean towards her possibly being Root. And then I love the whole how they handled Carter and Fusco. What'd you guys think?
Now, it's going to be interesting how they're going to have two cops playing off each other. And her name's Zoe, by the way, I just remembered.
That's what it is, Zoe.
And also, I might have Googled it as you were talking. But let's pretend I remembered.
Of course.
I think it's putting really each of them in danger because you don't really need two cops working together to help them. So I think maybe one of them is going to kind of go mid-season. That's my prediction.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be Fusco, and I felt like maybe they were leading. I thought they might do that in the finale because they were making him, like, really good in a sense, quote unquote, and much better and really protecting Reese and Finch and working with them. And I really thought there was going to be like this sacrifice with HR where he was going to do something and actually be shot and killed. But obviously that didn't happen. He did come to the rescue and help, but, it's cool. All right. So enough person of interest. I know you guys chatted about it last week and I just want to kind of give my thoughts real quick. So let's move forward, before we kind of get caught up in talking about other shows. Like I said, I wanted to provide my insight a little bit on Person of Interest, since that was a show we watch and also discuss quite a bit during the podcast weekly. And I wasn't able to join last week, but moving on to our weekly topic. And at this point, I usually just hand it over to CJ because he's the one that picks the topics and provides the good show fodder.
Yeah, and every week I lose. So this week, I'm hoping I'm going to have some winning, but chance I'll be epic.
Winning.
Fail. Yeah, I'm winning, but I'm not. I'm losing like 6-0 by now. But anyway, back to the point. This week's weekly topic, or debate, or if you want to put it truthfully, argument, is what are the two best season finales? So which two episodes are the best season finales? Not mid-season, fully final episode of the season. Which ones are the best?
Well, I think I think you have to go with Lost Season 3's finale, based on just the fact that Cliffhanger tied up that episode and was such a big shock. I've been thinking about this one for a little bit, and that's one of my first options. Adam, do you have any?
Yeah, I'd put that pretty much in first place. I mean, what else would I also, I mean, we kind of discussed a few of them last week when we were talking just about general cliffhangers. Things like when Jack Bauer got kidnapped by the Chinese, I thought that was a great season finale.
Okay.
But I would say the season one finale was better, just for the wow of, we haven't seen this before.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I also kind of think that we also don't just need to think about the cliffhangers, you know, I think, you know, even episodes of like Prison Break season one finale, you know, it didn't have the world's greatest cliffhanger, but it was a really tense, action-packed episode where you were just watching them trying to escape the prison. You know, that was a culmination of the entire season, and that was really exciting. So Prison Break season one's probably going to be right up there. I personally actually probably prefer the season five finale of 24 to the season one actually. I think the Walking Dead season two finale was really good. I've got a few. I'm gonna have another little bit of a think while CJ gives us his certain to be very long list, carefully thought out and
planned out. Yeah, not exactly. In such a way where he could possibly somehow win by putting out four different options for each.
Well, exactly. I'm actually a bit hurt and offended by that because I haven't actually prepared anything in advance of the podcast. However, I happen to have this file open in front of me, which does have a few.
Why don't you just grab a pen and start writing whatever comes off the top of your head?
Yeah, well, whatever comes off the top of my head, so I just load up this file. Right, we have Supernatural Season 5, as you know. I wasn't a fan of the fact they continued it. I thought Season 5 was the end of the story, and it just fit perfectly, and I thought that was a really well-told season finale. But I don't think, Adam, you haven't seen this one yet, have you? Are you a bit behind?
Season 5 or not?
Yeah.
No, I've seen, I'm halfway through Season 5, so I haven't seen the finale. But I know what happens.
Yeah, just nod and agree. Just nod and agree. Not that anyone can see it, because we're recording audio. Castle Season 3, when Beckett gets shot, I thought that was an amazing episode once again that really built up. A Buffy episode that I absolutely love, the Season 4 episode called Restless, which is all about them dreaming, and the dreams end up happening in future seasons. I don't know if you guys watched Buffy at all.
No.
No, so far, every episode I've said you guys haven't seen.
Pretty much,
not going to help your chances at winning.
Some of the ones I
have really
seen.
Better start thinking real quick.
There's a show that's currently on CBS. It stars this Jim Caviezel. It's had a really good finale. Awake has just recently had a very good finale, which we'll talk about later. And also, I thought Heroes Season 1, which I thought was a very strong finale, how it brought all the characters together to kind of finish off the story for Season 1.
Mm-hmm. You see, for me, with Heroes, I loved Heroes right up until the Season 1 finale, and that's where I thought...
I think that's where everybody started really getting a little upset.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like how... Was it called How to Stop an Exploding Man or something like that?
I believe so. What was that, last episode?
I'm not sure.
It might have been like Eclipse. It might have been...
I thought that was the season 2 premiere.
Maybe that's what it was, okay. Mm-hmm.
But something about that finale just annoyed me. I don't know why, maybe it just didn't quite...
Well, I think I know what it was. What it was, actually, the whole build-up about, you know, Siler and that whole storyline and... They were talking about the fact that we're going to have this big action-packed sequence, and it's like a $90 million Hollywood blockbuster budget movie, and it never happened.
And, yeah, I agree.
You were right. It was called How to Stop an Exploding Man, by the way.
So.
Good.
But I still think it was quite a good episode, though, because we'd kind of, it's one of those things where we
had good
expectations,
yeah,
and then
no,
it lets
great.
Us down.
I thought it was great. I mean, I thought it was still a good finale. But I remember that was the definite, probably, peak for the show. It all kind of started to unravel after that finale. Slowly but surely. Season 2 kind of held its own, but it never got back to its heyday after that. The season 1 finale of Lost was fairly good as well.
Would you class that as a one-part or a two-part? Technically, I'd include the
just the whole
together.
Overall epicness, the whole... I know we talk about the series finale being really epic, but it has so much to kind of tug at our hearts and strings, so many different storylines, and we could go back and forth on debating that. We've done that, I'm sure, many times, but... The whole season 1 finale I thought was really great and epic overall, had some great moments. Prison Break, Adam, definitely I can see what your thought process was, the whole culmination of a season. I never saw any of the 24s, but I could play along with, sure, having a whole season long story arc play out. I'm trying to think of some here. Too bad I don't have a file I can open up.
But I mean, me and CJ, I know you've not seen Sherlock, but CJ was saying how he thought the season 1 was better, but I think surely he's got to agree that the season 2 finale was the better overall season finale.
It was definitely the better overall. But no, then again, I kind of like the season 1 where Sherlock had all of these mini mysteries he had to solve before he met Moriarty, so it was kind of a nice build-up to that final climax. But season 2, again, it was a really good... It's hard with Sherlock because there's only 6 episodes, and it's hard to knock any of them, well, apart from episode 2 of season 1. But if on episode 2 of season 1, all of them were amazing episodes.
Well... How about if let's talk about, that's great, I'm glad, and you guys probably be able to pick Sherlock and outvote me, which is probably not a problem and I wouldn't have an issue with, but what about we talk about something like Game of Thrones or Walking Dead season 1 finales, or Game of Thrones especially, I know that those are two shows that we've all seen, but...
Yeah. Walking Dead season 1 just wasn't... It was good, but it wasn't kind of as good as what Walking Dead could be. It was, again, they're trapped inside one area, and it was more just like a general episode, to be honest, season 1 of Walking Dead for me. Season 2 had a bit more kind of a, oh, God, who's going to live, who's going to die sort of momentum to it.
Mm-hmm. What about Game of Thrones with the whole... Daenerys and the dragons and stuff like that.
But that was only one scene. Well, you know my thoughts and feelings on Game of Thrones.
I mean, I think the Game of Thrones season finale was a good season finale. I think the problem it probably has is that the episode before it was much better. Whereas when I think of something like The Walking Dead, I think that season finale, season 2 of Walking Dead, that really stands out because it was just... It turned up the volume, essentially, and it just said, we may have been a bit slow before, and not everyone's like that, but here we go, let's just give you some carnage, and carnage they gave, and I think that one's gotta be one of the better season finales, particularly of this TV season. But I mean, I don't think it can compare to a Lost finale. I mean, when I think of a Lost finale, you think of some of the-
Epic. Yeah, some of the greatest finales, yeah.
And it's, they just balance the sort of emotional stuff, just like where they, you know, Michael and Jin and Sawyer sail off on the raft with, you know, the intensity of the smoke monster chasing them with the shot.
The hatch and...
The hatch blowing up.
Yeah.
Well, I know haven't watched it, but a lot of people spoke about Once Upon a Time. Supposedly that was a very good and interesting finale as well, because I've heard a lot of good things about that. I'm catching up over the summer, but I've heard that had a really good finale, not that we can really make much comment on it.
So what about some of the Fringe finales? I mean, I thought season 1 was really nice. I thought season 3 had a great ending. I know we're not talking just purely cliffhangers, but do they stand up on their own merits anywhere in this discussion?
Season 2 was better when they're trying to get Peter back. Was that season 2 when they're trying to get Peter back? Yeah, it was.
I think Yeah, that was the one where they first went over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Olivia ends up trapped and they've done a swap.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't give the season 4 finale a sniff at being...
No,
I'd probably say 2 or 3 were my favourites, because they were more epic and unique, you know, with Peter going to the future in season 3 and the team moving over there for the first time altogether to rescue Peter. And I'd probably pick season 3 as my favourite just for the unique take it took on the season as a whole, and for the ending. I mean, I don't think outside of Lost there's been such a heavily debated final scene of an episode in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, that was just crazy.
Adam, no one knew. I'm a bit disappointed with you, to be honest, because you haven't mentioned your favourite show, Torchwood. Who? Miracle Day. How did you not enjoy The Blessing and All the Blood? That one is an amazing hour of television.
We got to bring back Heather for this discussion. What about you guys never watch Alias, right?
Oh, that's probably had some brilliant finales.
So I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get to join the cliffhanger finale discussion, but Dexter's, as I said, and I don't remember seeing too many of the comments regarding Dexter. I have to go back and look at some of the comments on last week's podcast, but Dexter had that great cliffhanger and finale with where his wife was killed, left in the tub of blood, and the boy, the baby kid, is like sitting in the pool of the mother's blood, which was just, and it's a culmination because it's what, how Dexter was born, like in a sense, quote unquote, how he became the killer was because his parents were killed in front of him, and he was like, so they say Dexter, the dark passenger, was born in blood. And to see that happen to his own son after they had this whole buildup of him like becoming a father and being a good husband and, you know, finishing that season with John Lithgow having a great role in that as the villain that season, just probably one of the best villains they've had on Dexter over a whole season story arc. So that kind of ranks up there for me. I know you guys wouldn't be able to vote for it because you probably haven't seen it. But again, Homeland had a nice finale. I'm trying to see what else.
What about The Office Casino Night? We talked about it as cliffhanger last week, but I think that was actually quite a good overall episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem I'd always have is that when I think of great season finales as a whole, I think drama they're always going to win. You know, a good comedy, or even when it's a great finale, I think with a comedy, you always can just sort of see it as any old episode. You know, you don't always watch it that as a finale. You know, it's just a good comedy, whereas I think the drama finales, they build to this and they aim for shocks and twists, and so I think they'd usually win in my book.
Well, like even some of the CSIs, like even though they're procedurals, they have really nice finales and always cliffhangers where someone's getting shot and maybe is dead or is killed. And I'm sure like Castle, I'm sure CJ mentioned Castle. But Alias, again, I know, kind of jumped to Dexter after I mentioned Alias. I felt really is what Alias and 24, and we've said this several times in the podcast, is what really started the current generation of TV watching. And then Lost is what really boosted us into the whole social media space and jumping online and really trying to figure out a TV show. So we had X-Files back. We haven't even mentioned X-Files. What about some of the X-Files finales?
I can't remember the name of the episode. And you know the one where he's kind of in the train with all the dead bodies and the soldier chucks a bomb inside or grenade and it blows up and it finishes in like the Arizona desert or wherever it was where Mulder's in this train and you don't know if he survived. I thought that was a really good finale.
Yep. As I was mentioning, definitely that was a good finale. And Alias had a classic mechanism that they would use on even regular episodes versus even finales where Sydney, who was played by Jennifer Garner, the main character, would end up in a place and then you're trying to figure out how she got there. And I remember there was one season finale where it was like this huge cliffhanger, and the following season was 2 years later, and she was in Hong Kong and didn't have her memory, or maybe it was 2 months later, but nope, something to that effect. Yeah, so that was always a really cool kind of fun thing that they did. Trying to see what else. So I guess we've discussed quite a few. I don't know how we're going to pick on any. I know I think we could probably
all agree on
one
three.
Lost, yeah.
But now it's the tough part of agreeing on one more. See, I might just score just so I can say I helped win Sherlock Season 2. Or what about Person of Interest? Because I know it's just recent, but that was a damn good finale.
See, the thing with that was, that's what I was saying earlier when we were talking about Person of Interest. I thought it was great, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, but it just felt the predictability of it.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothers me about making it one of the best, and just because it's easy for us to talk about something that's fresh in your mind, but, you know, I even think that something like I said, a show like Dexter that's been around, or Alias that's, you know, 7-8 years removed, something like 24 where Adam can pick up on, and he's such a, what about, I'm sure Sopranos, I never watch every episode of Sopranos, but I'm sure Sopranos, there are plenty of shows, a show like Breaking Bad has had some really good finales. I haven't seen the most recent season, but the first three seasons were great.
It's tough. It's really tough because there is so many good ones. So why don't we just agree on Supernatural Season 5 and we'll move on. Yeah, it's a good idea.
I think I would pick Lost Season 3, and then in terms of purely just a season finale, I think I would go for something like Prison Break Season 1, because I just think that was... when I first watched that episode, I was so tense, and, you know, because season one of Prison Break was almost one of the most perfect seasons of television, because it built in these characters, some good, some bad. It set up this mystery, this intrigue, and then it all culminated with the fact that they had to get out of that prison, and you didn't know who was going to live, whether they were all going to get out. You didn't know who was going to get out. You didn't know how they were going to get out. And that was just one tense hour. And I don't think that I could pick anything else, really. Even though Prison Break goes downhill afterwards, I think purely just for that finale, I'd probably pick Lost Season 3 and Prison Break Season 1.
I think we're going to have to give a vote. I think it's going to be one of those voting situations where we're going to have to let the listeners and the fans decide. We're going to pick, I think we should just pick three different... finales.
Well, I'm going to go with the season 5.
So I'll go with CJ. I would have to go with Dexter's finale with the episode where his wife was killed. And I believe that, I want to say that was season 3's finale. But I can look it up. Maybe it was 4.
It's not very often we have a legitimate stalemate. Yeah. Most of the time it's because we don't want CJ to win.
Thanks.
So why don't we put that to a vote, CJ? If you want to, what are you going to do with Supernatural?
Yeah, I'm just going to post the podcast on the Supernatural section of the website, and I'll win.
In fairness, I know what he's doing here. He doesn't want Supernatural. He knows that they've got the biggest fan base on Spurs.
Of course.
No,
of course.
I've said on many podcasts, Lindsay, you've got to agree with us here. I've always said that it should have finished on season 5 because it was a really good finale. I've said that in many, many podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So no.
I think that CJ will be posting a separate blog post. Hey, Supernatural fans, by the way, check out the nice voting that's happening on our podcast.
It's already posted.
There you go. You'll be tweeting out hashtag Supernatural Season 5 Team CJ. Please vote.
It all starts here.
well, let's put that to a vote, see what the fans say next week, and kind of move on. I think, didn't we have a vote a few weeks ago on a topic? Did we ever release that out to the fans?
And I'm just pulling it up now. I'm sure I won either way. I'm going to tell you I won either way, to be honest, so it doesn't matter. let's have a look. I'm just pulling up the summary as we speak. And
winner CJ.
No. Nobody voted.
Nobody voted? Did you even post it?
I did.
I don't remember.
I posted it. I mustn't have made it very clear.
Wow. I'm sure. Maybe the link was dead. Nobody even commented, hey, the link's not working?
Yeah, nobody voted whatsoever.
What was the question?
I can't remember. It didn't involve 24 Heroes or The Walking Dead whatsoever.
What was it about? Best opening credits?
No. It was something where I didn't win, so let's just move on. Next section.
He was votes, wasn't he, you liar?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was best pilot episodes, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. What was it?
I don't know. I honestly you can't remember.
What was it?
Alright.
It was a best pilot.
Yeah, I've just clicked on best pilot episodes and there's no poll there.
There is. It's click here. It's in blue.
Click here to vote. Hang on. There we go. I found it. I'll give you the actual results.
No, you can't. Which show? It's blocked.
He can't see the results. Only CJ can see it. CJ's the only one that can see the results.
Okay. The results were in third place. Was
CJ.
I've got to try and rig these things, okay? Come on, give me a chance. No, it worked out where 24 had 5% of the votes. The Walking Dead had 16% of the votes. And Heroes had the majority of the vote after that. So Heroes was the most popular one.
So I think ODI won then, didn't he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Ah, that's good.
I don't rig these things, honest.
Oh, boy.
God help you on the next vote.
Why did you pick 24? I don't...
Because remember he was saying it was groundbreaking, and we did have that discussion, and it was like the first episode that really set the tone for the whole change in TV and stuff. We had that discussion.
Yeah, but you're not listening to that podcast, Adam?
I was picking a better show than you, man. I was too busy picking what the fans wanted. Second place that the fans wanted.
There you go. All right, so I think Dodi I saw has a strong Heroes following. I guess that shows. But anyways, let's move on here.
So tell me how this works.
I'm awake with my wife, and I close my eyes, I open them, and I'm awake with my son.
And this has been happening since the accident?
So you begin working on one case here in reality, and then suddenly you begin working another case there in your dream.
It all feels completely real to me.
You can't tell whether you're awake or asleep at this very moment.
Well, I can assure you, Detective Britton, this is not a dream.
It's exactly what the other shrink said.
So, moving on to our next show, and we'll talk about the Awake finale, and since Adam hadn't seen it yet, we really convinced him to kind of log off and just go ahead and watch it and come back and just let us know his thoughts because of it being the series finale and kind of providing us with the reveal. I really thought it was a great, awesome finale, series finale overall. Really enjoyed it. Thought it went back and forth really well. I think they really threw in some nice twists along the way to try to keep us guessing. I'm not too sure I like the reveal of what was happening, because I thought it's something that, you know, was very potential as a solution, which is fine, but I'll give you my thoughts on why I didn't like it. Overall, I thought 95% of it was awesome. And I thought one thing that I caught early on, and you, if you still have it, CJ, I'm not too sure if you caught it, but if you still have the episode, go back and watch it. If you kind of think back to the Green World scene, this there's a moment with the lieutenant, who ends up, of course, being revealed as the one behind the whole drug bust cover and or drug ring cover, and the one that led to, in his mind, as we should say, or he felt was the one that was the baddie. She's wearing a red ring.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't have the previous episodes, and I want to go back and see at some point how long she had this red ring on in the Green World. And it's something I caught at the very beginning of the finale, and I mentioned right away to my fiance, because I had watched the first 10 minutes, and then I actually went back and rewatched it. And if you watch the first 10, 15 minutes, you'll see it's when she calls the, I forget his, Kessler. She yeah. calls Kessler, and you could clearly see she's holding the phone with that hand, so that it's right there in your face, but it's something you wouldn't look at. And I know even with us trying to point out every week, like, hey, in the Green World, this was red, or in the Red World, this was green, and we've done that a few times every week, you know, with the podcast, it was very subtle because I was so caught up in the story, and I saw it at the very last split second, and I go, oh, wow, and then I kept watching, and I said, you know what, I got to rewind, and they deliberately do not show her right hand for the next 15, 20 minutes in that whole storyline. And if you think back to the scene when she shoots Kessler and she kind of breaks down, she's like cleaning up and she's about to take her gloves off. She takes off the left glove
and
then they purposely, yeah, and they purposely have her break down like she's emotional by it, and they don't show the right hand. So I thought it might have been something that they were doing purposely, definitely kind of like trying to see that that was like a little hint to kind of show us maybe she was the baddie or what was going on. But anyways, what's your thoughts?
God, where to start? It's such a confusing but really mm-hmm. good episode. Now, this was actually filmed with the idea that they were going to get a second season, so it wasn't, because I've been reading a lot of the interviews with Kyle, the main creator, and it was saying that this was filmed as the possibility of moving on to the next season. Now, I know
okay, go on.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, so my impression was that it was filmed that way, but when they found out that it was ending, they threw in this ending that they revealed to
no,
us.
Supposedly they've kept that in, so they've left it open, because the therapist right at the end, there was a quote in the name of the episode, which is Turtles All the Way Down. And that kind of got me thinking of Terry Pratchett, where they have, I think on Terry Pratchett Discworlds, that actually the world's on a turtle, but it wasn't a reference to that. It's actually, and it's on Leonard Chang's website, because I always kind of keep up to date on his website. It was to do with a scientist. He was given a lecture on how he thinks the world's round and how there's gravitational pull and things like that. And this old lady went, well, I think you're wrong, because the world's flat and it's on a turtle. And the scientist turned round and said, well, what's the turtle on? And then the woman goes, it's Turtles All the Way Down. Now, the interpretation of that is, and I could be totally wrong, it's a bit like Inception.
Right.
So these
levels of dreams. Yeah.
Levels of dreams. Because he's even talking about that with his therapist when she freezes.
Yeah.
So originally, the kind of hinted at his wife's world is the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, it's kind of, he's sacrificed that world
yep.
for the green world. But then when he's in the green world, even that freezes.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we've got to forget, we can't forget that obviously just one of these worlds is real. There's nothing stopping him having a second dream in one of these worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual dream of him and his like wife and son all being together, that could be the replacement.
That could be a dream as well, yeah.
Or that could actually be the real world. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be another dream. There's nothing stopping him having multiple dreams, multiple realities, and going between them, just like you have different dreams every night.
So my thought okay, first, what do you think of the whole episode? Then we'll talk, because I know the main discussion will end up being about the end.
The episode on a whole, I thought, was really cleverly done. I thought they rounded up the full season story really well, and how he used these alternate worlds and talking to himself, which I thought was a really good scene. One thing I do want to mention before going to the main thing is Jason Isaacs. He has done absolutely brilliant this season. In the past few episodes, when he broke down about thinking he'd lost his son, to this episode, kind of playing this kind of...
Guy's awesome.
He's done really, really well. I wasn't sure what he'd be like as an actor before this.
No,
but now,
it's awesome.
He's just absolutely amazing. And if he doesn't win an award, I don't know anyone else that deserves it more than him right now.
So the sad part is that it just didn't get watched by enough people for it probably to make any splash, and that's a shame. But at the same time, there are, cable shows that are probably watched by less people that always get nominated. So definitely he is an amazing actor, and what he's done with this show, I think the show is dead in its water. It was already dead in the water with the ratings, but without him, it's just like it was great. I mean, don't get me wrong. The writing was phenomenal, and I thought the whole writing team did really well. We liked the show, but he really took it to the next level. And definitely from the moment, like you said, him breaking down to his son, knowing or feeling his son is gone and dead, to just this finale in the final moments, it was pretty impressive of a job. And you don't usually see this caliber of acting on network TV. So
totally agree.
I think that was done well. As far as the ending, I felt like it gave enough to be, like I said, the twist where you said, okay, they really indicate and hint, okay, it's the wife's world, that's the dream, he's in the green world talking to the psychiatrist, it freezes up. I thought it was kind of funny how they had the penguin earlier in the season, and they have Vega now in the penguin suit to really kind of show us some sort of freakiness on the dream level. And then to have him walk through the door and not have any rubber band or bracelet on his wrist, and to have both his wife and son alive, I think that it's good enough for a finale for us to say, oh, okay, if you want to believe that's the real world and neither one was dead at any point and he was dreaming the whole season, that bothers me a little bit. That really does, based on the fact that one is supposed to be real and one is supposed to be not real. And it's a kind of a very cliche kind of thing. Oh, where we all were saying from the very beginning that he's in a coma or he's just dreaming the whole time. But it can be taken that way. And I think that if it is taken that way, it wraps up the story well. You know, it's like, okay, it's good enough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it really harkens to Inception clearly on the multiple levels of a dream, and that when Inception ends, you really don't know if that was also a dream in itself. So when he sees his son and his wife, I think that they ended it, if, like you said, they didn't change it, which is really interesting then, because I thought maybe they changed it up and they wanted this to be the end. But if they didn't change it up and this was supposed to be the end for a season one finale, then the beginning of season two could have easily been where this was a dream, or like the penguin appeared.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to have seen, like, the penguin on the wall, like in a painting or something. That I wish they would have had something to really indicate, wait, kind of like Inception with the spinning top. I wish it was something like that, because I think we all would have been like, oh. So,
yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio combined the background or something like that.
Oh, that's where he went.
Yeah.
That's where he's been this whole time.
What I found really interesting, and it's silly because it's only 1 second, it's just right at the end before a cut. I don't know if you spotted it, but he closed his eyes.
Yeah.
So him closing his eyes right at the end there, I don't know what the significance of that was, but it just stood out to me for some reason. I don't know why, but I kind of like the way they've ended it. It's kind of like they've wrote it knowing it could be a series ending, but still can be moved on to a next season. But for me, knowing it was a series finale and having that ending where they're kind of together, even if it was a dream, you're kind of glad that he's got that, just so he's kind of got that dream aspect.
I mean, I totally felt it went a direction that, you know, I wasn't expecting it to go, which was interesting. I really was hoping that there was something more of a, beyond a conspiracy and cover up with the police in his mind to they're really watching him. And maybe there is. I mean, like you said, I think if it were to continue, they could totally pick up from there and say that's another dream. And whether he's in a coma and it's cliche like that, I really think that I love the moment actually also when he's walking down the hallway with both the psychiatrists behind him, kind of like the devil and the angel on his shoulders.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of a cool moment
as well.
Yeah, that was a cool moment.
The first time they've really had a chance to interact with each other. And it was quite good seeing them kind of argue back and forwards.
Because at the end of the day, that kind of also proves that they're both in his mind in a sense, and you know that both were dreams.
You could say it's kind of like the left and right hemisphere of his brain kind of conflicting, saying different things. So I'm sure there's probably loads of different literary ways you can look into it, but I'm not academic and smart enough for that at 2 in the morning. But no, I really enjoyed the series finale. Obviously it was a two-parter, but there was a weaker part for them. But as a standalone second part finale, it was just amazing. And it's a shame because this show's been really well directed with the colours and they've made it obvious, really well acted, really well wrote. And a show of that calibre got cancelled.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? It's a total shame.
See, Terra Nova, Alcatraz, we just didn't really get into it. And we've always said it's about the characters. And I think Jason Isaacs is just knocked it out the ballpark. You've really connected with him, you really feel for him, and like I said, that ending where he's with his family, you don't care if it's a dream, you're just glad he's with them.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's not alone. I think both the psychiatrists did really well in their own right. I think they played off of him really well. The chemistry between him and each one working back and forth. I thought his partner who plays Bird, which was the African-American one, I thought he did well. And I said I remember when we first started, he's a great actor. I loved him on the show Practice back in the day. And then, who else? Laura Ennis, who plays, the chief, Harper, the captain. She's always been a great actress, starting back as far as ER, and of course most recently in The Event. And so I thought they all did really well. Maybe his son was a little weak and his wife was a little weak, but they portrayed well. I mean, I think that they performed their duty and, you know, held up their own.
I liked the girlfriend. I thought for the scene she would have, you really liked her as a person.
Yeah, I agree. And at the end of the day, I think, good show. Shame it couldn't continue, but I think it's great to have a show be able to go a full gamut of 12 episodes. And it's funny because, I know I don't want to, well, do it, but we do this all the time is try to reference Lost in a sense. But my fiance Marie said, well, just think of Lost if Lost would have ended after 12 episodes, because they've always talked about where Lost would have a potential ending after 12 or 13 episodes, and it did really well. And they said, okay, well, it's going to be picked up for a full season, obviously right away. But it was always kind of meant to finish after 12, 13 episodes. So if you kind of think of Lost and maybe ending that, it probably would have ended on a similar notion where they left it open-ended or had some closure in it as well. I still can't imagine how Lost would have ended after 12, 13 episodes. Yeah,
imagine
I think.
Episode 11 went, well, the island is like a wine bottle, and there's a cork.
I don't think Hurley's episode had even taken place by episode 11. I think his was like 13 or 14, which was The Numbers, which was an awesome episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been very interesting. But it's a shame about Awake, and obviously a big thank you to Leonard, one of the writers, who was obviously being kind enough to reply to us and listen to these segments, so thank you very much. And he's working on Justified now, I read on his Twitter account.
Great. That's a great show. Congratulations to him. Leonard, of course, thank you very much for listening into the podcast. We hope you still listen to the podcast and are a fan just in general. And, you know, we still love to have you on, especially now, like since the show's over, we're more than welcome to kind of have you come and join us for, you know, 10, 15, whatever minutes you have to kind of just give us your thoughts and experience on the show. And
basically
we'd love to have you.
Our theories are crap and how we've got it totally wrong.
Totally. And tell us how, no, that's the end. There's no inception. There's no other dream. But whatever it is, I think, again, thank you for listening in, tweeting at us. We appreciate it. For those of you that might be new or haven't listened to the prior Awake segments and maybe just tuning in because it's our talk about the finale, Leonard Chang is one of the writers that was on Awake. He would tweet at us a couple times. We asked a question, and he tweeted his answer back to us. So you can find him at Leonard Chang on Twitter. So, again, thanks, Leonard. Appreciate it. Any other final thoughts, CJ?
I'm sure I'll probably have some more because I'll be watching it again soon, and probably in the future we will mention it. But for the initial kind of roundup of it, I think it was a very strong finale. Yes, there was a few episodes in the season that just didn't get it right, but again, it was only a 12-episode season, you know, that they're trying to get the feel of the show. But overall, it's definitely a show that needed the chance to move on, find its feet, and the series finale, now it seems so horrible saying series, was a really good hour of television. It really was.
Yep. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I kind of hearkened it to Person of Interest. I really enjoyed watching. There were two great hours of TV this season. For new shows, they were probably, you know, for this season, definitely probably the outstanding. Nowhere Alcatraz can't even touch it, so they're not even in the same even discussion to kind of. So if you've seen Alcatraz, I know there's a lot of people that are upset that Alcatraz is not continuing, but that's my opinion. I'm sure we'll talk more about Awake maybe next week if Adam jumps on to chat about it and give us his thoughts, but for now, that's our initial thoughts on the finale, and time to move on. Alright, so let's move on to Game of Thrones, and I believe this was the episode before the finale, am I correct? Or
yes, it is the episode before the finale.
So, we've been kind of hinting and talking about this episode and waiting for it in anticipation. Also, I think it was either you or Adam that also mentioned that they filmed some extra scenes or went back and filmed some.
They got extra budget for it as well.
Yeah, to add more for the battles. And it's a rare Game of Thrones episode in a sense that it really focused primarily on just one main scene, in a sense, like, or story arc. And, of course, it was the battle at King's Landing with Stannis coming with the ships, and I guess the episode called Blackwater, in a sense, that's known as the water around King's Landing, and of course it gets lit up with wildfire from Mr. Tyrion, and I thought that was kind of an awesome, awesome scene, an awesome moment. Went back and like rewatched it. I thought that Cersei had some interesting scenes. Didn't really understand why she was going to give the younger son the, I believe, was poison, and then Tywin coming in and pretty much saving the day at the end. So the whole overall story arc was great, but of course the biggest moment probably everybody wants to talk about is what happened with Tyrion and whether he's alive or not.
Yeah, well, I think he's going to be alive. It looks like he just had a slice across his face. Mm-hmm. How deep it actually goes, we don't know, but I think it might just be the initial shock of, oh my god, I've just went into battle. But if he doesn't get another award for his acting in that episode, I'll be surprised. It was, and obviously, as if you've listened to the previous podcast, I'm not the biggest fan of Game of Thrones. You know, I haven't made that a secret. I like watching it, as I've continued. But this, to me, was just an amazing hour of television. And I'm a big fan of The Lord of the Rings. And personally, I feel that kind of stood up to some of the battles you saw in The Lord of the Rings. I think that extra budget, the effects, just the acting, it was amazing television to watch. It really was. And I was saying to Ed ODI earlier, it felt like this episode was extended. I don't know if it was longer, but it just felt like a movie.
Mm-hmm. They might have thrown an extra minute or two on, but I think the fact that it focused on one unique storyline or and locale, I guess that's the key. It focused on one main area where Game of Thrones tends to spend 5 minutes here, there, here, so it's broken up. So now here you got a whole story arc that really is 50 minutes of one main area locale. That's why I think it felt really longer.
Mm. Now, would you prefer Game of Thrones to have that maybe kind of storytelling next season? Or do you like it where it's split apart? Because this is one of the complaints I had, where it feels like you have 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and it feels a bit disjointed, whereas this had one clear focus.
So
it felt much better.
The where I'm disappointed is, I think this is the one show, like I was, again, I think that many, many shows, and I would even say, even earlier though, we said Person of Interest did really well with the whole 23 episodes, and it's probably only a few that we can pick off and say, okay, it was kind of like weak. But typically, I think most shows are better off with less episodes because you can write a full story arc and, you know, it's got that whole flow, and that was the challenge with Always Heroes, that was the challenge with Lost, Fringe, and so when they've got the story arc and mythology, this is the one show I would say that needs more episodes. It definitely needs at least 15 to 16 episodes in a season, especially when they spend 3 to 4 episodes, 3.5 episodes, introducing new characters and jumping from place to place for 5 to 10 minutes. And you kind of almost at the end of the day feel like someone, I don't even know if the word's cheated, but to know that next week's the finale, and all of a sudden now you have so many storylines splintered from Jon Snow to Robb Stark to Daenerys going to the House of the Undead to what just happened in this battle to Arya, to now maybe is Sansa running away with Dog. I mean, it's just crazy. Oh, what do you call it? What's our best friend? Robb Stark's best friend, the guy, Theon. You have his storyline. So you got 7 major storylines at least right there. And you're not, is the finale 2 hours?
I don't know, to be honest. I'm quite bad when it comes to checking spoilers for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But it's going to be impossible for
But if it is 1 hour, right. It's going to be like last year's finale, and it's going to be like what happened with Baylor, I feel, and then you go into the finale, but it was great, but unless the finale has a big reveal or an end, like last season where they had the dragons, who knows? I mean, again, would you say this was better than Baylor, or was Baylor better?
I'd say this was better than Baylor.
Really?
I really do. I think this just stood out on a whole for me. Because, like I say, Baylor was a good episode, and it kind of made the finale be a letdown. And I'm just worried that the same is going to happen next week. That we've had such an amazing, epic episode, that the finale is going to struggle. Now, I'd actually like to see this, and I know a lot of people may complain, but I think it might be good for them to not show any more of like Tyrion and people like that, and leave that for next season.
Yeah. So that was my thought. I mean, they did not show him in the promo, and I'm thinking that they just try to pull that with Bran and his brother and them getting away and Theon burning the two corpses, and I think we had that discussion, like, okay, they're definitely not dead. And I kind of had that thought with Tyrion, where there's no way, right? They can't kill him. He's such a important, like, character. But we did do that with Sean Bean's Ned Stark character, where, like, what? No, right? And I think that the interesting thing where you really look at the difference is the same thing where I felt like maybe Tyrion is still alive, clearly, is if Tyrion's killed, how does that really affect the storyline? It's not like Cersei's going to be sad, right? It's not. I'm not saying he's not an important. He's like, I've harped on it. He's the best character, probably the most important character on the show.
Nobody that can kind of benefit from his death in one sense, apart from that girl he loves. But even then, she's not going to be affected too much.
Right. So there's not a major shock to the storyline in a sense to have him be killed off. So it's not where Ned Stark gets killed and it puts a million things in motion versus Tyrion being killed. Well, no one in that Game of Thrones world besides us, the audience, is going to really care about it. So I thought about that for a moment and I was like, from a writer standpoint, it really doesn't necessarily put too much into motion. Although, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen now that Stannis is caught. I mean, at the same time, do you really care? What do you think?
Stannis.
I don't really feel for Stannis.
Up. No, yeah. He hasn't really been very well kind of built up this season. I thought his partner, again, who you don't know if he's survived or not, was a better character to watch. Mm-hmm. And I am actually hoping, and I know there's going to be lots of complaints if this happens, but we don't see any of the characters we've seen today in the finale. Leave it as a cliffhanger. The war's over. We don't know the fate of, say, two of the characters, the second in command for Stannis and Tyrion. And we don't know where Sansa's going. I think it'd be interesting to just give that little extra time to Jon Snow and Arya and people like that and see where those storylines go.
Right. I think probably Arya's a good potential where they might not show her, or maybe they'll show her on the run with Dog. And they might be like, where is she, at least in King's Landing? But with Tywin coming back, that's an interesting kind of twist to have him come back and now really put his power down on the throne and the whole effect on King's Landing storyline. And I know they still have to continue what's happening with Jon Snow above at the Wall, and they still have to continue what's happening with Robb Stark. And of course, they haven't really gotten back to the Smoke Monster. Like, I thought we would actually get some of the Smoke Monster here.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of smoke, but I don't think it was the same type. And maybe that Smoke Monster was just a one-off deal.
You think?
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe that's what's going to help him break out of the castle.
Yeah. I mean, because at the same time, I was like, the Smoke Monster, like, supersedes everyone because all it has to do is just go there and nobody can kill it. So maybe it was a one-off thing.
Who knows?
And maybe that's why she gave birth so quick. It's like, okay, impregnate me. You have one shot at it. Boom. Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be going on the title of freakiest scene this season.
When we do, we might have to do kind of like a weekly topic that's based on that, and that's definitely going to win.
Screwed up scenes that give you nightmares.
Well, I think Game of Thrones had a few. I don't know if they give us nightmares, but they had some. Well,
yeah,
last
I think
season,
every episode sucking of Whitney did that to me as well. So.
Well, the sucking sound from Game of Thrones last season is still probably stuck in my head.
But no, it was an amazing episode, and again, we'll probably talk about it more next week because Adam, as you can hear, is not talking right now because he is actually currently watching it as we record. We didn't want to.
Oh, I thought you actually muted his mic for some reason.
Well, I might have. That too.
Cool.
I'm a very shady character when it comes to the podcast, as you've heard.
So now should we try to throw a twist because you guys were trying to test if I was going to listen to the podcast? Should we see and test if Adam listens to it?
No, he has claimed. So if Adam, if you're listening, we expect you next week to say the key word of ooh, smoke monster. That's what we expect you to say in next week's podcast.
Ooh, smoke monster. Hashtag ooh, smoke monster. People should, actually, listeners should actually just start tweeting at him. But don't tell him the reason. Just start tweeting ooh, or hashtag ooh, smoke monster.
And his Twitter is @DHarris on Twitter. You can also find the link on the comments. Just, ooh, smoke monster. And let's see how many times we can get that happening until he starts freaking out.
That'd be great. Alright. Any other final thoughts?
Let's hope the finale lives up to this episode and doesn't let us down like last season. But yeah, as a person who hasn't really enjoyed Game of Thrones, this episode has actually really got me looking forward to the finale.
Cool. I'm glad. Finally, I'm glad that you kind of stayed on board and didn't stop watching, because they've done a good job overall for the whole season. Really nicely done. Nicely done. So, all right, mate. So let's move on to the movie section. All right, let's move on to our weekly movie segment, and Avengers has been, of course, the leader for the last few weeks in the box office, and last week, I think, when I posted the box office results, I did mention probably the only chance that this movie getting derailed would be this weekend, which was going to be Men in Black 3 being released, which I'm shocked at the box office take for Men in Black 3, but also not too surprised. Before we get to that, Avengers has crossed $500 million. I think that's only the fourth movie ever in U.S. domestic box office to get to that mark. So it's had a great run. It's still churning out the dollars at a high pace. So look for that to kind of maybe cross the $600 million mark. And then a strong, strong start by Men in Black 3 with over $200 million on the holiday weekend out here. So I did not get to see it. A couple of my buddies that I usually go catch movies with did go. One thought it was really funny and good. The other thought it was just okay, had some funny moments. I know Adam got to see it, but CJ, did you get a chance?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm planning on going with Little, and at some point it's just finding the time, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I saw it. I saw it in 3D, and right now I can say there's no point going and watching this in 3D. I thought the 3D actually made some of the visual effects look a bit dodgy, to be honest. But the film wasn't bad. I mean, I think it's better than Men in Black 2. But you know, many people would say that's not saying anything at all. So, I mean, the thing that surprised me the most was that the ending was actually quite clever. It sort of tied into something that had been mentioned previously in the series, and it was quite a nice little touch. And so that was quite cool. I thought Josh Brolin, as everyone's been saying, was brilliant. I thought he did a really good sort of reproduction of Tommy Lee Jones's K, Agent K. My two big problems, surprisingly, were that I didn't think it was as funny as it could have been. And I was disappointed that Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords, who plays villain Boris the Animal, you know, because he wasn't funny enough considering they'd cast this comedian to play him. I thought he was going to be quite dark and funny and quite interesting a villain, and he was just very sort of one note. He sort of growled a bit, and he didn't really do much else, and so I was a bit disappointed about that. But overall, I'd say it was probably better than I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting a lot. But it's well worth watching. You know, it's not terrible by any means.
Okay, and I want to clarify the dollar value on the report. I just read the headline, and so, but when I clicked in and read the actual article, so what it is, it's actually much lower than in the U.S. box office for when it started, 70 million, not 200. So the 200 is, the 130 it made globally over the weekend. So it's 200 worldwide. Started actually just with a weekend take of only 55 million and then throwing in the holiday of 70. So it's actually a much weaker start for Will Smith compared to I Am Legend and Hancock, according to the story on Box Office Mojo. But wanted to clarify that. But, I guess, it accomplishes what they set out to do in a sense. I mean, you have an area that allows them to make some money. How bad could it be? I don't think anything could be as bad as Men in Black 2. So, like you said, it's not saying much that it was better than 2. Yeah. But it's just one of those movies that probably would have been fine if it was just Men in Black and that's it. I don't know, a 2 and a 3 were ever really needed, but.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, not 10 years after the last one. You know, it almost kind of feels like, why are they doing this? It's almost, you know, it's almost as if Will Smith decided he needed a way back into the big blockbusters and this was the easiest one. It wasn't bad, to be honest, because it had been plagued by sort of production problems. So I think people were fearing the worst when a film starts production without a finished script and all this sort of stuff. So I think as a whole, you have to give it a sort of thumbs up, maybe not two thumbs up, but it's worth watching. It's not bad.
Cool. What else do we have? Obviously, I think one of the things that's really happened just in the movie world over the last month or so or a few weeks, and it's pretty much what we had felt would happen. I think CJ had made a great point when I kept asking, where is the Dark Knight Rises promotional material? And I think maybe both of you even said, well, once the Avengers is released, that's when we'll start seeing. And sure enough, all we are getting is Dark Knight Rises promo posters, banners, little TV spots. Looks fun, exciting. The most recent promo poster we just posted, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that, but it was, I guess, a QR code that was on a movie poster in a theater, and fans were able to scan the QR code, and it revealed, I guess they're calling it a secret promo poster, and it was just the heel of Catwoman with like a spiky metal heel crushing a bat, star, or, you know, he has the Chinese stars, but the bat logo, the Batman logo. So, I don't know if you guys got to see that or not yet.
But it's no, a Catwoman.
Yeah, it's a Catwoman's foot, basically, just crushing the bat thing that he has. It looks
like
really
the bat,
cool.
Yeah. It's a cool shot. It's her heel, and her really spiky metal heel, crushing the Batman logo, and it's actually one of his throwing darts, the Batman throwing darts, or not darts, but Chinese stars.
See, basically. I was thinking maybe it's hinting at someone else and not Catwoman, because obviously, is it Talia al Ghul, or whatever her name is?
Yeah.
The daughter of Ra's al Ghul, could it not be hinting towards that maybe, just being very sneaky, making people think it's Catwoman, and it could actually be someone else?
I mean,
I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I thought of that, but I just kind of figured that what you got is Catwoman and Bane as the two kind of headliners. And
there was a Bane poster that was pretty similar, which had Bane in the background and the bat mask sort of crushed.
True.
Yeah.
You know, both sort of hinting at this, destroying the Batman in some way. So I think it's probably Catwoman. It's also, I've just opened the poster again. It's got like
the lips. Yeah, the
lips.
Kiss. Yeah.
The kisses. And I think I've seen a Catwoman poster already with the kisses on it. So I think it probably is Catwoman.
And you gotta love how they throw in the Batman logo in between her kiss imprint.
So, it's like, really cool. Yeah.
So if you click on it and to see the higher res image, the logo is in her lips. So being fun and creative. So for the most part, we're getting quite a bit of Dark Knight Rises information. Of course, Prometheus is getting the full gamut of news and promotional information, and also Snow White and the Huntsman. And so I didn't even think of it. I don't know what it was in my mind until I saw the most recent TV spot for Prometheus that I realized Charlize Theron's gonna have a big couple of weeks coming up here.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it's been timed on purpose.
Well,
they both come out on this week in the UK. I think Prometheus is out in a couple of weeks, isn't it, in the US?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so she's going to be competing with herself this weekend at the UK box office.
Well, hoping Prometheus will win, because Snow White and Huntsman just doesn't look...
I actually think it looks better, much better than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. I was not a big fan of that whole fairy tale genre, but way better. I mean, it's kind of got some really cool, like, effects, got some nice action. I'm not a big fan of Kristen Stewart, but, you know, I think Charlize Theron as the queen and Chris Hemsworth looks pretty cool and badass in it.
Did you guys get yet?
I was going to get to Bond and Abraham Lincoln, but Bond, since you mentioned it, I would say that's probably one of my favorite Bond trailers in a very long time. It's totally kind of had a girl with a dragon tattoo kind of music, and I don't know. What do you think, CJ? I know you're a huge Bond fan, so I'm kind of curious what you think.
It's kind of like a trailer out of Splinter 2 parts. It had the first half, which is kind of setting up the Bond's kind of in trouble, he's being interrogated, and then it was really playing on the action in the second half, like what you said, the girl in the dragon tattoo, where it had the quick shots with the
music. But
I think it was very interesting the way they're doing it. Not what I was expecting, but I think it kind of gives you an idea of the story and then give you an idea of the action, yet you're still clueless on what the actual main storyline's about.
Yeah, it's just really totally didn't expect that. Yeah, totally didn't expect that type of trailer, because Bond's typical, got the cliche Bond, James Bond, it's got the Bond music. This was just like hit you right in your face kind of trailer. Adam, did you get to watch it?
Yeah, no, I've seen it. It's really good. Very nice. It teases you more and makes you more interested to know what this Skyfall is, though. You know, where are they? Yeah. The guy's like, Skyfall. Skyfall, and then Bond's like, done. You know, was making me wonder where that scene places in the film. I wouldn't think it would be at the end, but then does that mean that we're going to get a Bond movie where it's told through him sort of discussing a previous mission, or... Well, how does that relate? You know, it's going to be interesting to see it.
So, did you guys get to see the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter trailer, which I thought was actually quite interesting also?
Yeah, I just watched it a few days ago, and it's not what I was expecting. It actually looks quite funny as well, from what I can tell. It's an interesting idea, but looks really entertaining and very gory, because I think it was the Red Band trailer that were put out recently.
Yep, definitely. Adam, have you seen it?
I've not seen it for a while. It's never been one of those films that's going to ever really get me very excited. But I think it'll be probably worth a watch. Maybe if I don't miss it at the cinemas, I'll check it out on DVD. But no, I think it does look quite good, and as CJ was kind of hinting at, and I've heard it's supposed to be pretty brutal. I think it'll be an interesting watch. Worth noting, just when I talked about brutal films, I also saw The Raid last week. Have you heard about this film?
No.
It was filmed by a British director, but it was basically with Malaysian actors, and it was subtitled. But it's made quite a bit of a buzz in the UK. Have you heard of it, CJ?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, there you go. Not a big enough buzz for CJ to hear about it. but, yeah, it's essentially just about like a SWAT team that go into a 30-story block of like a tower block, which is run by like a ruthless, murdering, drug dealing guy. They're trying to bring him down, but when they get inside, the SWAT team are trying to sneak in, but they get discovered, and the drug dealer on the top floor sort of announces to all the residents that he'll let them stay there rent free if they kill the SWAT team. And so they sort of have to try and escape whilst killing the baddie without losing people's lives. And it's just like a big sort of, you know, one of those sort of kung fu action films with loads of great Jackie Chan-esque kind of action sequences. But it's pretty brutal and dark, but it's got some really good action sequences. Empire gave it 5 stars and said it's the best action film of years. So it's well worth a check out. Yeah, no, it was really good because it's not usually my kind of film, but I thought I was just totally gripped. It's well acted. The fight scenes are really mesmerizing to watch, and so it's well worth checking out. I don't know whether it's getting a US release or whether there's one planned, but it's pretty good.
Cool. Did you guys ever go see Dark Shadows? I know CJ, you wanted to see it. Did you ever get a chance to see it?
I never got round to seeing it, but it's going to be one of those ones I watch on DVD.
Yeah, I heard it didn't do too good.
I think it's going to be the typical Johnny Depp type of film.
It didn't do too good, obviously. You saw it?
Yeah. It was okay. Is the best compliment I can give it.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, I think the trailer sort of misadvertises it because, you know, you're expecting the usual Tim Burton thing, and then you get this trailer which is very quite comical and light, and it looks like maybe they're going to try and do something different to sort of break a sort of very long run of very similar films. And unfortunately, it is just the same as every other Johnny Depp Tim Burton film I've seen. It's quirky, it's dark, it's weird, and in many respects, it's a lesser version of many of those sort of Johnny Depp Tim Burton films. You'd much better go and watch Sleepy Hollow or Edward Scissorhands or Sweeney Todd. You know, this is more on a Alice in Wonderland level of quality as opposed to a Sweeney Todd one. So I think you'll find most people were disappointed, despite the fact there were some good moments. And Johnny Depp, I mean, everyone says, you know, he's good, but he's also playing it so safe, you know. He could probably do that in his sleep. It'd be nice to see him do something a bit different. I'd say go get it on DVD when you've got nothing else to do, and you'll probably have a good hour and a half's worth of entertainment, but it's nothing that's going to be remembered in years to come.
Right. Cool. Only, I would say, one little tidbit. Of course, The Amazing Spider-Man's getting a lot of the promotional material as well pop up. Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 had some minor casting news. Nothing too major, but for Iron Man 3, a character villain known as Firepower, and I guess it's just more noteworthy because that character is related to a villain called the Mandarin. And also, if you remember back to the first Iron Man, the villain played by Jeff Bridges is also connected to this character, Firepower. So it's kind of shows you going back to that whole storyline. So that was kind of an interesting point. And then there's an actor by the name of Mads Mikkelsen, and he's been cast to play a villain in Thor 2. So it doesn't say who, what, how big of a role, so it could be he's a major villain, it could be that he's a smaller role, but
the main buddy in Casino Royale.
Ah, that's what it was.
So if that helps, so chances are he's probably going to play someone very similar and evil, because he has that look about him.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. He does. But it's kind of good to now that Avengers is kind of starting to cool off from its box office that we're starting to see some of that news. And I think I want to say both start filming shortly. So That's the reason why we're seeing that casting news start to pop up now. So it's always cool to kind of see that in development starting to occur now. Any other thoughts on movies, Phyllis?
I think that's about it, to be honest.
So.
I'll be back next week and I'll have seen Prometheus. I'm going to a midnight screening in a couple of days. And I'll try and watch Snow White as well so I can give you some reviews on those two for next week.
Nice. What else is coming out, I think, besides, so you got Snow White and the Huntsman, Prometheus, oh, they have Madagascar 3 for the kids. Oh, Rock of Ages,
that's the Tom Cruise
kind of comedy rock, from Throwback, so that might be a surprise winner, but we'll see how that goes.
The Dictators just came out, and supposedly it's meant to be all right. Not as good as Borat. Better than, what's that other one he did, Bruno. But it's not his best.
Right.
Ted's getting quite a bit of buzz over here.
Ted looks amazing. I can't wait to see that.
It'll be interesting. That's not until end of June, but it's getting a lot of buzz out here too. Good and bad both. Good as in like, oh, can't wait, like CJ just said, to like, what the F is this? Right? So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, and it might be one of those movies that's gonna just like hit mid-level or bomb, and then if it hits mid-level, it's gonna need some legs to really carry it.
Word of mouth's gonna be pretty crucial, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people like McFarlane, but you know, a lot of people have said that Family Guy's gone a bit downhill and this sort of stuff. So I think if Ted gets those fanboys going and saying it's great fun. A bit like Borat did, really. You know, I think Borat over-exceeded expectations due to word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Curry, a very similar kind of film. So if it's good,
well,
it could do well.
It's opening against pretty weak competition. I mean, or no big blockbuster, I should say. And the following week, though, is July 4th weekend, where you have Amazing Spider-Man opening. So, it's probably, if it doesn't make a lot of money in that first week, it's probably going to be toast with Amazing Spider-Man opening up.
Did you hear about the G.I. Joe being moved back almost a year due for a 3D conversion?
Is that what happened? Because I was going to say, I haven't heard anything all of a sudden about it.
I heard it got moved back, but I didn't hear the reason why.
No, basically, it was going to be released next month, and now they've moved to March 2013 because they want to do a 3D conversion, which is pretty crazy. I mean, all the cinemas around here have got their banners and posters up. They were well into this advertising campaign, and then suddenly just been booted back.
That's usually not a good sign. The point being is it was probably not screening well, and so it's like a gimmicky thing to try to have higher box office value at the March time where 3D, they can make money off the 3D gimmick. So it's probably not a really good sign for the movie. And I mean, they were really heavily advertising it here with trailers before movies and TV spots left and right, and really the two iconic moments that they kept showing over and over were the ninja scene on the side of the wall or the cliff when they're fighting it with the ropes, and then of course Bruce Willis's reveal.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just very bizarre for something to be moved back so much at such a last minute, you know.
Yeah.
It was quite in the article. They were saying how it was due to Titanic 3D's success, but I didn't really see how they were comparing Titanic, one of the biggest films of all time, with
maybe
the G.I. Joe.
Film is going to sink just like the Titanic.
I don't think we've had a pun yet today, man. So it was about time you got one in.
Yeah, about time.
Of course, we'll travel back in time, and maybe there will be one in the previous TV segments. So,
sink? Never.
No. So, anyways, I wanted to say thanks to both of you. I know it's a late night for you guys, and here on Memorial Day, on my day off, just wanting to record. So I appreciate it very much for you guys joining in. And as always, don't forget, to all of you out there, thank you very much for listening in. You can reach us by, of course, leaving a comment right there on the post and letting us know your thoughts on the topic of the week, on the best season finale. I'm sure there should be several comments, and you have a poll to vote in. And don't let CJ win. And so I would say that, again, podcast@spoilertv.com is the email, @STV_podcast on Twitter, and then STV Podcast on Facebook. And that's pretty much it. And once again, guys, thank you. And from the U.S. to the U.K., namaste.
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 I it was funny the way you started the podcast, because it was just like this, like somebody was listening to Love Lines with the music. Hi, this is CJ. I'm taking over the
Yeah, I've tried having music kind of playing when I introduce it, just as a, something new to try it out. It's like, hi, welcome to the Spoiler TV podcast. This week, we're going to talk about all your favorite things. Do you like Game of Thrones? We've got that. Maybe I should do that this week just to freak people out.
I think we might lose some listeners. I don't know.